Today on Real Radio.
You can have all the power in the world, but if you are not given the strength and the ability to do it, I mean, you're just a paperweight. And joyful giving empowers the church to get done what God's calling the church to do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter through this epistle, but for the past several broadcasts, Pastor Jack has been bringing us a new series within a series that focuses on parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10. It's all about the scriptural worldview of giving, and we're not dealing with the giving of money only. It could be time, maybe talent, as well as treasure, and we are to give with a cheerful heart, as the Bible says. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now, continuing his multi-part series called Giving What's Been Given.
I got my Harvard education. We're glad. Super. God gave you the brains. You don't know my parents. God gave you the parents. Yeah, but I was sleepless nights. I worked and put myself through school. God gave you the health. You know what? Come on, bring it on all day long. Tell me about it. My answer is going to be God. You can't boast. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm glad about this. When you pull away in your Bentley or your Porsche or your Ferrari, we're happy for you. Just know this. We know something that you may not have woken up yet to. God. Seriously, if you pull away in your Yugo, or what is, your Prius? What is that? I don't know what's out there. I'll pick on myself. On my Volkswagen Bug. God. There's nothing that you can do, breathe, say, experience without God. You're fooling yourself if you think you are without him. It's impossible. He does everything. And in light of that, as being a Christian, concerning all of this, check this out. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I love this. We all know this verse, you guys. We all know it. But I am convinced, at least I don't understand it anymore. I thought I did until I put this Bible study together. I don't know this verse. Are you ready? 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness, that's the world, and into his marvelous light. Everybody got that? We've all heard that verse. I'm convinced now I don't understand it no more. You want to know why? Look at it. But you are, who's you? Say us. Us. Are a chosen generation. Really? How do you know that? Okay, God says so. That's one answer, by the way, and it's the first answer. You're right. Because God says so, but if God says so, there should be evidence that that's true. Okay? A royal priesthood. Let me ask you this. Okay, God says so, but is it so? Meaning, not what we say. Pastor, be nice to me. I'm a royal priest. Well, it all depends. Priests don't sit around. Priests are very active. That's why God commanded his priests in the Old Testament, you are not allowed to sweat, because that would show signs of the flesh. You present yourself, and you work to the point of, your fingers being bare, but I do the work, God said. You just make yourself available, and you are forbidden to sweat. Isn't that cool? I should take that advice. But anyway. So, if we're a royal priesthood, it means that we're supposed to go around being priestly-like to people. See, all of a sudden, I don't know if I understand this verse anymore, because I don't always see that happening in my life. Okay. A holy nation. The church is made up of people. Each of them is declared holy by God. We make a nation, a citizenship of heaven that's here on earth now. What do you think that ought to look like? The world should tremble when they see us coming. I don't mean for fear. I mean for wisdom. reason, righteousness, honestly, brilliance. If our God is God, and if our God made our brain, then why shouldn't we just be living up to what he's called us to do, and maybe even beyond, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think of him. And all of that is his own special people. Listen, are you a Christian today? Yes, you are his own special people. If we saw this verse in action in our lives, in my life, can you imagine what this community would look like? That would be something. Given what's been given, verse 12, joyful giving generates praise. Generates praise. How so? Look what it says right there. For the administration of this service, the distribution of your ministry, number one, not only supplies the needs of the saints, isn't that practical? Christian love is practical. Christian love is doing. I said it before, I want to say it again. I love saying what I'm about to say. Christianity, biblical Christianity, lived out historically, has proven to be the most generous, compassionate, loving faith on the planet, with no rivals. Why? Because Jesus is our example. Look what it says. Also is abounding through many thanksgivings, plural, to God. What does this mean? It means that joyful giving generates praise. Watch. We are the givers. In our story right now, in our lab test, we are the givers. We give to someone. Let's call her Jill. Jill. We give to Jill. Okay? She's blessed. What does she do? Church, listen. Jill says something like, thank you. Jill says something like, wow. Jill says something like, I don't deserve this. Whatever Jill says, it's not important to us because God told us to give. Okay? In doing this, Jill is blessed. The second thing is, when Jill gets blessed, it blesses everyone who blessed Jill, but that blesses God. It brings thanksgivings to God. And that is an amazing thing. It's so simple, and yet it is eternally influential in heaven. Do you know anyone who could benefit today from a cup of coffee, lunch, $10, seriously, a ride from this bus stop to that bus stop, or whatever? You know what that does? You're blessed because we already know the giver gets blessed, the one that's been given is blessed, and God stretches open the sky and says, yeah, awesome. I want to give God that opportunity to do that, don't you? I want to touch his heart. So I love God so much. Do you? Awesome. How do you treat people? Well, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with everything. You will treat people to the level of your love for God. Well, you don't know who I'm living with. God knows exactly who you're living with. And by the way, God's living with you, so don't get so high and mighty on your little pony there. Oh, it's amazing. We're to be givers like Jesus. Even when people don't deserve it, we're to be givers like Jesus. It generates praise and thanks, and it gives God the glory. Seven times in the book of Revelation, in the opening letters to the seven churches, seven times, Jesus says to the churches, I know your works. By the way, that's going to happen. God's going to do that to me. Oh, can you think of that? God's going to do that to you. There's going to be a day, there'll be nobody around. God's going to look at you and he says, hey, welcome. I know your works. He's going to say that to us. He's going to let us in on that. Seven times. And at the book of Revelation, at the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, 12, Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly. The word doesn't mean I'm going to come back right away. It means when the events of Revelation begin to happen, I'll be back very fast. It won't be long. It'll be just a couple of years when all this stuff kicks off. I'll be back. and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his works or work. Now listen, we are a Christian church, which means Jesus did all the work for us at the cross. Got that? You can't earn your salvation. You can't do anything to get you into heaven. Impossible. Jesus did that all. Works cannot, that's what all the cults have in common, is you do these things and you'll be accepted. The Bible says no way. God says no way. You can't do anything. Jesus did it all. Once you're saved, the Bible says God now lives inside of you by the power of his Holy Spirit. That means God begins to take control of your life. And what he does begins to come out of you like toothpaste in a tube. It begins to come out. He begins to come out. His influence begins to come out. And you begin to affect people. And most of the time, you're not even aware of it because he's doing it. Watch this. Because you're saved, it produces works in your life. You can never do works to get saved. Those views are diametrically opposed. Are you with me now? Yeah. Vitally important. Jesus said, I'm going to look at you according to your works. So as Christians, he's speaking, by the way, Book of Revelation, he's talking to the churches. He says, listen, start giving your life away. Stop living for yourself. Give it away. Give what away? Not it, you. Because you include all of it. Money, time. What does that mean? You enter in a relationship with God. God, you tell me what to do. You tell me how to live. God, I'm open to you today as I'm driving to this park or I'm driving to work or I'm doing whatever. Interrupt me, God. Speak to me, God. I just invite you in. And as you're going along, boom, you're going to see somebody. You're going to hear something. You're going to turn on the radio and there's a starving kid in Africa, whatever it is, and your heart will be tugged. And God will say, do it. And you know what's going to happen? Because he spoke to you, you're going to go, oh, man, I don't know what to do, but I know I got to do it. Because you heard him. A lot of Christians have never heard from God because they're never asking God of anything. Start asking. Listen to him speak. Number three, joyful giving glorifies God. While though through the proof of it, that is the doing of this ministry, they glorify God. They do so in two ways there. For, number one, the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Jesus Christ, or of Christ, meaning you believe in God and it shows. Number two, for your liberal sharing. Circle the word sharing. For your liberal sharing with them and all men. The word sharing here is that famous word in the Greek, koinonia. We've all heard this word, koinonia. This is what the word means. Partnership, fellowship, intercourse, communion, union, unity. Because they're worshiping God and giving God everything, God gets the glory and God is glorified. And what happens is there is a unity so close. I've told you before, I'll say it again this way. We've all heard blood is thicker than water. And if that's true, then the spirit is thicker than blood. Meaning, you and I have relationship with one another as Christians. Though we are not blood DNA related, we are spiritually DNA related. I would give my wallet to you to watch over. There's family members I wouldn't give my wallet to. Why? Because spirit's thicker than blood. My relationship with you is on a whole different plane. It's on a celestial, heavenly plane. And there are those that you and I traffic with, even from our own DNA. We wouldn't give them the key to our house. Think, is that not true? Why are you so quiet for? You're just like, oh my gosh, don't, he's sitting next to me right now. Don't say that. Is that not true? It's that word, that thing that we have. And by the way, let me encourage you, if you've never traveled to international countries, unable to speak their language, and you bump into a Christian or you go to a church service in St. Petersburg, Russia, and you don't know any Russian, and you try to talk to a Russian, amazing bond, like you can't believe in 5 seconds. God is amazing. What is that? Koinonia. The Holy Spirit does that. For what reason? To give God the glory. This church should give God glory. That's what we should be doing. And we are. I mean, not now, I'll tell you later, but you're a blessing to many people. regarding us giving glory to God, that needs to be our number one focus, because it means that the authority of God's scriptures trumps completely our cultural influences. If you look around this church, what I love about this from my vantage point, you should see what I see. You should see what I see. I see white, I see black, I see Asian, I see South American, and in cultures there are things like, and I'm making this up, I'm just making this up, so don't write me a letter. I'm making this up. The Peruvians don't talk to the Argentinians. I don't know, I'm just making this up. Or the Japanese will not speak to the Koreans, or the whites with the blacks, or whatever. Hey, listen, you take that junk, and you throw that junk right out of the window, because God doesn't operate in that kind of theater. It doesn't work. That's an anathema to God. It's anathema to God. Yeah, but we're culturally different. Listen, cultural's cool. Cultural's cool, but give it to God. Okay? Financial strata successes. Well, Pastor, where do the rich people sit so I can sit in that area? I'll tell you where they sit. About 45 miles that way, and then turn right and go for about another 150 miles. That's where they sit. You're not going to get it. First of all, no one's ever asked me that, but you better not. Because what is that? That's nuts. That's crazy. And then future planning. Well, you know what? We're going to be doing this, and we're going to be doing that. And no, you're not. You say, if the Lord wills, we shall do thus and so. What am I saying? Absolute, total dependence upon God, because He alone gets the glory. And fourth and finally, we're going to end with this. Joyful giving empowers the church. It empowers the church. I saw a clip. A friend of mine used to play for the Denver Broncos, and he's in this plane. I'll just tell you, he's in a plane that can blow up the world. And he's somewhere over somewhere. And he's on a mission. And he ain't going to make it. There's no way. But that's okay. They had planned for that. And so halfway there, he pulls up next to a KC-10 flying gas station. U.S. Air Force pulls up there, refuels, gets a full tank, goes off, and does what he has to do. You can have all the power in the world, but if you are not given the strength and the ability to do it, I mean, you're just a paperweight. And joyful giving empowers the church to get done what God's calling the church to do. And you know what? I've already read your mind. It's my mind too, that we would never even have to receive an offering. Even though it's biblical, wouldn't it be great to not have to receive it? Do you remember when both David, Moses, do you remember when they had need and they let the need be known? They had to tell the people, stop giving. We've got too much. Stop giving. Wow. I would love to be able to just, you know those stores that have those tubes that go in the air thing through the ceilings? Wouldn't that be great? Imagine if there's a tube. You can't see it. But there's a tube that goes up to heaven. All the bills are paid. Send it back. And then, oh, we have a missions outreach and we need to help. There you go. Wouldn't it be great if it worked like that? It doesn't work like that. You want to know why? Because God wants to test. He wants to test us. Will we part with our idols? You say, are you saying money's an idol? Time is an idol? Could be. Depends on what you want to do with it. Depends on what I want to do with it. And the very thing that God wants us to give to Him, doesn't matter what it is, our funny little human nature will make it that little God, as it were, trinket. And we'll hang it around our neck. And it becomes so important. And so, Lord, I love you. Lord, I sing my praises to you, oh God. And God says, thank you, that's awesome. But Mike needs to borrow your car. And your... God, forgive me, I just had a weird thought. Right? And God says, no, I mean, I'm glad we're worshiping and we're interacting right now, but Mike needs to use your car. Well, God, there's a lot of people here. Can he borrow somebody else's car? Right? And God is saying, do I detect an idol? No, Lord, no, but Lord, you can have my this and my that. You can have all of that. And you can have some of this and you can have all of that. But Lord, not that. Isn't that funny? And the Lord says, I already got all that other stuff. And you better wake up to the fact I got that thing too that you think you have. Best for you to give it. I'll teach you something, he would say. Jesus said in Matthew 10, it's freely you have received. Is that not true? Freely give. Wow. Hypothetical. We're going to end with it. We're going to end. It's going to be fun. But you think of this hypothetical. What if you knew from these five messages in this series, what if you knew Jesus is going to come back in 8 days and God says, you need to apply what you've been taught from my word. All right then. I obey. Why? There's only 8 days left. You see? We need to live like there's no tomorrow. Amen. For the kingdom. And watch what he does. And then Paul caps it off with the greatest statement, and then we're done. And it's the best place to land. Look at verse 15. He says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's one of the titles of Jesus, my friends. Giving, I don't know, 10%, 15, 3, how much, I don't know, net or gross, after taxes, what? And you can hear angels, shut up! shut up! Here's the criteria, here's the example. God gave us his indescribable gift, Jesus. Amen. He died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the grave, by his merits purchased for you and I entrance into eternal life. And you say yes to him, and he forgives you. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says this, but God demonstrates, displays, puts on show his own love toward us. God shows off his own love toward you. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God has given us everything. You need nothing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Giving What's Been Given. It's a multi-part series taken from parts of chapters 8, 9, and 10 of 2 Corinthians on the all-important topic of giving. Giving What's Been Given is part of Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, you can write to Pastor Jack anytime you'd like. Let him know if Real Radio is a part of your day. Here's what one Real Radio listener just recently wrote. Praise God for your ministry. I listen to you on Sirius XM every day on my drive home from work. I've been blessed abundantly by your messages. I've always been one of those people that avoided the book of Revelation because I couldn't understand it. Thanks to you, I'm now starting my second time through it. And that comes from John. Thank you, John. It's easy. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Need to get in touch by phone? Here's our number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.